9 at DWS. Dave Gentry, Elizabeth Hess, and Senator Dick Durbin is on the line this morning. Senator, how are you?
I'm doing pretty well. How are you?
We're good. Glad to have you with us this morning.
Good morning, Senator. I wanted to ask you about DACA, and I know this has been on your agenda for a while, but now the pictures between Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, and the Republican leaders tying it to the border wall, that meeting doesn't look good. Tell us where we are with this.
Well, I'm headed down to the White House this morning, and there's a group. It's too large a group. It was a president's invitation, so I didn't have anything to say about who would be invited. There are about 20 senators and members of the House, Democrats, Republicans, meeting with the president, and I hope we can come up with at least the determination to get it done. Time's wasting. The president put a deadline of March 5th for 780,000 young people. As of that date, 1,000 a day will lose their protection. They can no longer legally stay in the United States. They can no longer go to school or work in the United States. So at that point, some pretty awful things are going to happen to people that I consider to be fairly innocent. These are people who are brought here by their parents at a very early age. They've led a good life. They've had limited opportunities because they're undocumented. I want to give them a chance to be citizens.
Senator, since we had you on, the tax bill has passed. And as an outsider, it's tiring watching senators like Lindsey Graham and Bob Corker complain about some of the provisions, Susan Collins, and yet they end up getting in line and voting for things. Is this frustrating for you?
Well, I tell you, being doing this for a living, knowing these people personally, I like them, I respect them, but I'm amused at how many times the press is kind of swept away with, well, I think this one's going to break. This one's not going to vote for it. And we kind of quietly look at one another, those of us who work here, and say, of course they're going to vote for it. You know, it's kind of a tease in a way.
Yeah.
It isn't a serious effort. And I wasn't surprised at the end. There are some who stick their necks out and show real courage from my point of view and break with their party, which, you know, each of us does from time to time. But by and large, most of them are just kind of teasing the press, and the press falls for it.
What does this mean for the average middle-class person? What does the tax bill mean?
Not much. It turns out that if you're in the top 1% of wage earners in America, 80% of the benefits are headed your way. It's really a break for people who don't need a break, and for big corporations. The net result of it, I'm afraid, is going to add $1.5 trillion to the national debt. It is not going to help working families who need a helping hand in a lot of ways. And sadly, it also included some language which is going to take health insurance away from 13 million Americans. I voted against it. I think it was a bad bill.
Senator, what about this Sinclair Broadcasting Tribune Media merger? Tell us a little bit about that and what the...
I don't like it a bit. this is a group that owns a station over in Springfield, and for years and years, I've been calling, I had my staff call, or I'd call and say, do you mind if perhaps somebody else with a different political point of view is allowed to do a commentary on your station? For the longest time, they just put up these commentaries that don't reflect my values and my political work, and I asked to have equal time, and occasionally they would give it to me. But to think that they're going to take control of over half of the television stations in America is terrible. I mean, no company, right-wing, left-wing, whatever they happen to be, should take control of that many television stations. That just limits the opportunity for anyone living in Champaign County or Sangamon County, wherever it is, to have choices in terms of what they want to watch.
Senator, you mentioned the media speculating on this and that. There's a 24-hour news cycle to fill. The Mueller investigation, are we any closer to having a conclusion on this?
Well, I don't know. I don't think anybody really knows. Bob Mueller, I respect him very much. He's a real professional, former U.S. attorney, headed up the FBI for a dozen years. I know him. I like him. I trust him completely. And he drives the media crazy because he refuses to speak to the media. He just doesn't have press conferences, and he doesn't play that game. He's a real professional. So I don't know where he is. I don't know if he's only part of the way, halfway, or near conclusion. And that's okay. I respect his right to do this professionally.
Do you ever watch some of these news networks and are just kind of amused by some of the stuff they come up with?
It is fun to compare them. It's fun to go to MSNBC, where most of the Democrats hang out, and see what they're talking about, and then quickly switch to Fox and see that they're talking about exactly the opposite or something that has nothing to do with the other one. They really are selectively providing information for people. You know, I a lot of my friends, you can guess, are Democrats and moderates and such, and they're going crazy. They're watching MSNBC and Morning Joe, and they wake up every morning, and they're wringing their hands, and I say, for goodness sakes, will you watch some sports or listen to some music or go over and watch Fox once in a while? I mean, that's the problem. We're kind of choosing up sides in this country, one side here, one side there. I think most of the folks that I talk to, like I was just coming in on a commuter bus from catching the plane out here just yesterday, and this fellow from, he was from Missouri with his wife, and he says, can't you guys just get along? I'm thinking, you know, that's what most Americans think. Can't we just get along and do something that's good for this country, good for the people who live here?
How long is MSNBC going to milk this book they've been looking at since about last Thursday?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I'll tell you what. If I wrote a book, I would definitely pray that the president would condemn it, threaten a lawsuit, and talk about it for three straight days. I mean, can you imagine how much money this guy's making just because the president can't give up on it? Yesterday, I think he finally decided not to talk about it all day. But for two or three days, he was making money hand over fist for the author.
Yeah.
Yesterday, we had a little bit of movement between North and South Korea. They spoke. We are, as the U.S., comparing the size of our nuclear buttons with North Korea. Who is really on this team that we can have faith in that's going to move things forward to figure out what to do with our so-called enemy?
Well, first, we have a very irrational man who literally starves his people to build nuclear weapons in charge of North Korea. Secondly, he is developing the capability to deliver a nuclear warhead in the United States. He's not there. How far away is he? Months? At best, a year before he has a nuclear missile that can strike any part of the United States. And we ought to be concerned about it. And I just think this notion of taunting him, calling him names, dreaming up ways to get under his skin isn't the way to deal with it. I think this is deadly serious, and we ought to be extra careful when we talk about nuclear weapons. Presidents throughout history have said as little as possible, and I think that is the right way to go. This president, taking a different approach, worries me a lot.
What is it with North Korea now? They're suddenly negotiating with the South because they want to be involved in the Olympics.
I think that's it. Turns out they have an ice skating pair, a team, that want to come down and compete. You know, and for goodness sakes, it was ping pong that brought Nixon to China 50 years ago.
Yeah, I guess
so
that's right.
Don't discount the possibility that sports might be a way to, you know, at least bring a thaw in this cold relationship between the West and North Korea. Anything will do, as far as I'm concerned, to have rational conversation that might diffuse this dangerous situation.
Senator, I watched Doug Jones get sworn in by Mike Pence a couple of days ago, and there's now a slim Republican majority in the Senate. Are Democrats hopeful that they can overtake the Senate come the 2018 midterm elections?
Well, of course we are, but look at the numbers. We have 25 Democratic senators out of 49 who are up for re-election. Maybe it's 26 now that we have Senator Jones in. And as a result, we have a lot of people, over half of our caucus, up for re-election. The Republicans have 8 or 9. And so just those numbers alone say it's more likely that they would pick up a seat. However, I think this is going to be a very unusual election year. It could be a big year for the Democrats. Historically, the party that is not the president's party does well on off-year election. If that is the case, then it is possible for us to pick up a seat or two. Right now, it's 51 Republicans, 49 Democrats, about as close as it can get. In the House, I think it's even more likely that there's going to be a change. That's just what off-year elections do.
All right. Senator Dick Durbin. Senator, thanks for your time this morning. We appreciate it.
Well, I want to know one last thing. When is a Big Ten team going to make it to this championship in football? All we had last night were the referees from the Big Ten.
We were a little tired. We were a little tired of that, too. So I don't know what's going to happen. Yeah. All right, Senator. Thank you, sir.
See you. Bye-bye.
All right. We got more coming up on DWS.